Seems to be, doesn't it? Yes. Yeah. This is the second of two projects we've had like this. The first was about 3 years ago, Listen Up 1, strangely enough, and this is Listen Up 2, because it is the second.
Yeah,
the first one generated certainly some interest, most definitely, and amongst the bands that did well from that were the Medics, who everybody must know from this area now. But this one, yes, I don't know. It's really, whether it's the mix, particular mix of music, or maybe it's that the bands themselves are already have a few runs on the board, and so they perhaps are doing a little bit more self-promotion and so forth. But it's been picked up by newspapers in the Northern Territory, and I just saw this morning on the internet that the Torres News has got a great big article about it as well. So, yeah, it's fantastic. It's exactly what we want.
Yeah. How do you find these artists? Are they knocking on your door, or how's it happening?
Yeah, a few knock on our door, but it's a mixture, really. I mean, I've been working with Indigenous musicians for, gosh, the last 15 years at least. One of the projects we've been doing is going up to the islands and covering two islands a year in what they're calling a music and dance audit, which basically means we go in, set up a studio, and everybody involved in music, from the traditional singers through to young rappers and so on, come and we record them and make essentially a community CD and a DVD, in fact, of the dancers and various other things. Long explanation. But by being there, of course, we're exposed to what's going on those various islands. And inevitably, one or two will shine, and often they are the ones who then apply for funding and come down to Cairns and record. And so we have a fair idea of what's going on in the islands. We've also done a similar thing in the MPA, and we just get to hear about people who are, we've been recording various bands who now have kind of grown up, shall we say, and often the youngsters from those communities emulate their elders, and they create a band, a bit like the Coldwater Band, following to some degree in the footsteps of Black Image. And so we just have knowledge that they're coming on and developing. And that was the whole purpose of the brief that Arts Queensland gave to us, is to unearth these people. Not wishing to borrow the term from Triple J, but
precedent. Yeah.
That's right. But they have to be young, of course, writing their own material, and look like they would benefit from moving on a bit in the business. And that's all we can do, is give them the leg up, give them the professional experience in the studio, and get them on those first couple of rungs of, believe me, a very long ladder. But those who are serious will move on, like the Medics.
It's long been a dream, teenagers, young adults, oh, I'd love to be in a band and make music with my friends and go out and conquer the world with it. Is it different, that dream, the way it manifests in Indigenous youngsters?
I don't think so. I think it's every young person's, a bit like in sport, you know, if you're playing whatever your sport is, whatever your code is, you look to the stars and you think, okay, yes, one day I could be like that. And of course it's like that. I mean, the business has changed, as we all know, mainly the demise of CD sales. So it's a whole different world now. Better in some areas and not so good in others. Yes, now everybody can get their material up on the net one way or another, YouTube, whatever. But of course, now you're battling against the other 20 million people that can put it up on the net. Whereas previously, the kind of the decision making was made by the record companies, who'd say, okay, we're going to record you, but we're not going to record you. So you had to get through that particular problem before you were exposed to the public. But yeah, sure, look, they're in a more remote area, of course. That's one of the problems. We think Cairns is remote, but believe me, when you go up to the top of the Cape and the islands, they're that much more isolated for obvious reasons. So it's that much harder for them to seriously imagine that they could actually get somewhere. So this is what this is all about as well, is that we are taking those people and giving them a bit of a platform.
What's the famous expression, the tyranny of distance thing, is it being reduced by the way the music industry is now, with online and all the different ways?
Without a doubt, yes, exactly. If a band or a singer chooses to record themselves with a cheap and cheerful mic or whatever, an acoustic guitar up on one of the islands, sure, they can now appear on YouTube or something. But as I say, they're up against another 20 million people worldwide trying to do the same thing. So these are the pluses and minuses. But yeah, the internet certainly has allowed folks who would otherwise never get a look in some exposure, but they aren't necessarily going to cut it in the real world.
The story of how you ended up in Far North Queensland is one that I've never heard told in full, because as a youngster I had records that had your name on the back of the cover. So tell us what happened.
Oh, look, it's the inevitable. It's all about a woman. I was touring here in 1982 with Steel Ice Band, which was the kind of British folk rock band I worked with for 17 odd years. and we literally had one night off. And on that one night off on the tour, because when you're a touring band, you have to work just about every night to cover expenses and so on and so on. And the promoter works you hard, obviously, because they need to make their part of it and so on and so on. We had the one night off. We were taken out to Dunk Island for a night off. And that was the night that I espied this beautiful young thing on the dance floor and asked her to dance. And she kindly agreed. And after the dance, I said, would you like a drink? So I went to the bar to get a G&T or whatever it was. Meantime, she went off and danced with somebody else. That was, no. That was a blow to my ego, if ever. But yeah, so we immediately hit it off. That night we just chatted. What was the chances? I was from the UK. She was a Cairns girl. Yeah. But about 3 or 4 days later, we made contact again by phone, and we sort of kept in contact. And then, oh gosh, this is a long sorted story. About 3 months later, I was touring in America, and she came over to America and toured with us. And that's when the fireworks went off, and that's when it all happened. So, and here we are, 27 years married and 2 kids. And very happy in Cairns. Gosh, it's paradise here. In comparison with a February afternoon in London in the grey cold, yes. I can tell you. Yeah.
Have you written a song about this story yet, look, though?
You know, I used to write songs, but I actually think that no, I don't anymore. And I think that's almost an advantage being a so-called producer, is that I'm not listening to other people's songs and thinking, oh, I could do better than that. I have no axe to grind with them. I just take what they give me and realize it or turn it into what hopefully is in their heads to achieve that end result. So I'm not kind of comparing and thinking, oh, I wouldn't have used that word, or I wouldn't use... I mean, I do, because when we're putting down the vocals, we often change lyrics actually to suit, make them more singable, make them more easily understandable to the audience, and so on and so on. But no, I'm not sort of grinding my teeth and thinking this is rubbish, I could do better.
So listen up to Thursday afternoon. Give us a reason to come along.
Fantastic vibrancy amongst these young artists. Very different musical styles. So in a 2-hour period, you're going to see go from light folk through to pretty heavy stuff from the Coldwater Band. I'm not talking grungy, but good good Murray rock with some rap on top. Just a great afternoon. And let's hope it's a sunny day as well.
All right. And it's free.
And it's free. Yeah. Even better.
All right, Nigel. Lovely to see you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Richard.